Good morning and welcome to Searching the Scriptures. I'm Eric Bennett, one of the ministers of the Pine Top Church of Christ. I want to thank everybody for listening this morning. I'd like to also thank all those people that have given me those kind words and say that they listen. And I appreciate you very much and thank you so much for the encouraging words. If you remember last month, I talked about the cares of this world. This morning, I want to talk about something that's very, very basic, but something that's so very important. It's literally the basic building block on a relationship with God, that being belief. Do you believe that there is a God? Do you believe that the Bible is the written, inspired word of God? Do you believe that Jesus was sent here to earth to die for our sins, to arise, to conquer death, and allow us to have an eternal home in heaven? Before you just say yes or nod your head and then block out all that we're talking about, let's look at the facts, right? Many, many people much smarter than me have had arguments for God and against God. And it all comes down to belief. Everybody on this earth believes. They either believe that there is a God, or they believe that there isn't a God. Either that there is life after this life, or that this is all that there is, that we just randomly got here. We either take God's word for it, or we take man or woman's word for it, that there is no God. If we take God's word for it, we have at best an eternity to spend in heaven, or at worst an eternity in hell. But if we take man's word for it, we have at best this life, and then at worst this life, and then nothingness. So then we're looking at a risk reward. If we believe in God, and it were not to be true, we've lost nothing, really. If we believe in man, and there is a God, what have we lost? We've lost eternity. And we're going to spend an eternity in hell. If you want to go that route of what man thinks, there are thousands of options out there that you can choose from. And they've changed greatly over the past 2,000 years. This morning, however, we're going to operate on the belief in God based on the Bible, which has not changed at all in the past 2,000 years. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 1. The Bible reads, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so." It's absolutely amazing how much the Bible tells us about God, about who he is and what he's done for us. It's no wonder that without him, how lost the world really is. It's looking for different things to please them, but nothing that's satisfying at all. For example, many people look for love, and they can truly never find it. Without God in their life, do you think it's a surprise that they can't find love? Look with me in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. 1 John 4 and verse 7 reads, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." So if we want love, which everyone does whether they admit it or not, without God and belief in God, they can never know the true source of love. It's really sad if you think about it. All these people out there searching for something, but so many of them and their lack of belief makes it almost impossible, if not completely unattainable. I really got to thinking about this concept when looking at an example of belief in the Bible, and I could really relate to it, and maybe you can as well. We'll look at the story that kind of brought this lesson about. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, starting in verse 17. Mark 9 and verse 17 reads, "And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and he gnasheth with his teeth, and he pineth away. And I spake to the disciples, and they could cast him out not. And he answered him, and he said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, and he wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it's cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And we all know that passage really well, but this next one's the one that really stuck with me. Verse 24. And straightway the father of the child cried out, and he said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and he rent him sore, and he came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, and he lifted him up, and he arose. Like I said, we all know verse 23 very well, that all things are possible to him that believeth. But isn't that hard sometimes to have that belief? Don't we all sometimes struggle with belief on some level or another? Think of it this way. I'm going to give you this scenario. If we had an offer from a billionaire, that's somebody with multiple millions of dollars, right? And he gave us certain conditions to meet, like if we got up every morning and read 20 pages, that we'd be rewarded $1 million at the end of the year. So all we had to do was read 20 pages each day for 1 year, and he would give us $1 million. And if we had 100% belief in that, do you think we'd skip a day? Or would we read exactly 20 pages each day? I know for me, for a fact, I'd get up every morning and I'd read those 20 pages if I believed I was going to get that $1 million. We'll multiply this by infinity or by eternity or however you want to look at it, because we have to have this belief in God. Look with me in John chapter 3. Remember that scenario that I gave you, and we'll come back to that in just a minute. But look with me in John chapter 3, starting in verse 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I would say most people that go to church would say that they believe in these statements, that they believe what the Bible says here. But why do we mess up? Why do we do things that go against God's will? Why do we try and bend the rules or change them? Why do we commit sin? Back to our worldly example. Would you risk it every now and then? And, you know, if he told you to read the 20 pages, would you sometimes just read 19 pages? Or would you sometimes go above and beyond and read 21 pages? Would you maybe wake up some morning and take the day off and say, you know, I don't feel so great. I'm not going to read 20 pages today. Or would you read exactly 20 pages each day so you could get that $1 million? It sometimes takes extreme circumstances or extreme belief. And I love, and I'm sure that many can relate to the extreme and raw emotion that father shared there in Mark 9, verse 24. Remember, he says, And straightway the father of the child cried out, and he said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Anybody that's had kids or a loved one that's sick, you can relate to this father who wants this child to be well. We need to be in constant communication with God. We need to pray to him, to study his word, to be around other believers, to build each other up. We must be totally reliant on him. Quit thinking that we can do it ourselves, that we can fix everything. He's the one that created us, and he is the one that will save us, not ourselves. I think we can see this struggle even amongst Jesus' apostles. So it's not just us that struggle with this. Jesus' apostles did that. Look with me in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19. We'll start in verse 25. Matthew 19, verse 25. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? He was telling them how hard it was going to be for a rich person to be saved. And then verse 26. But Jesus beheld them, and he said unto them, With men this is impossible. But with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said to him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. This morning, I don't want us to get discouraged, but just to get motivated. If we ever struggle with our belief, just look to God's Word. It's all there for us. Pray to God. He's there for us as well. Talk with others. More than likely, they can relate. Maybe they've struggled with belief or something and have been in these similar situations that you may find yourself in. Here's some comforting passages. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 10. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. Right? We're all laboring together. We're all suffering at certain times. And that's going to be the case for all believers. Look with me in Hebrews 11 in verse 1. Hebrews 11 in verse 1. As we're turning there, we know this is the faith chapter. And really, belief is just faith, right? And if we don't have belief, then we have a lack of faith. So maybe if you're struggling with a lack of faith, read all of Hebrews 11. But let's look at verses 1 and 6 this morning. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then in verse 6 it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So if you're not a Christian, I hope and pray that this morning you've heard God's word proclaimed. I've looked at a lot of scriptures with you, and I never hope to say or do anything that's opposing those scriptures. The next step is totally up to you, and that's belief in God and in his Son, Jesus Christ. The fact is that you have to believe in something. We made that point this morning. Everybody believes in something. You either believe that there is nothing or that there is a God and he is who he said he is. With that belief, it's going to lead you to some sort of action. You need to turn from your sins. Repent. Turn from them. Confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He's the only one that can save you. This belief will lead you to washing away of your sins and becoming a new creature through baptism. Do what Acts 22 tells you to do, just as Paul did. Acts 22 and verse 16. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. This morning I want us to end with a prayer. But before that, you're invited to the services of the Pine Top Church of Christ. That's at 1101 Pine Top Road. It's in Russell Springs, Kentucky, in the Windsor community of Russell County. If you have any questions or would like to study more, please contact us at pinetopchurchofchrist@gmail.com. And if you're looking for a church to attend, please consider what we've talked about today. You can join us for worship services even this morning. I'll be speaking this morning at 9:45 for the morning worship, and then again at 4:30 for evening services. And then next week's radio program will be from Brother Roland McFarland. That'll be next Sunday at 7:15. And usually I tell you to have a blessed week, and I do want you to have a blessed week, but let's finish with this prayer. And after that, the lesson will be yours. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for giving us life, for giving us the ability and mental capacity to understand the things you've written for us in your word. Thank you for your Bible that tells us about your plans for us. Thank you for giving your Son to die for our sins to grant us eternal life, if we'll just obey your will. Help us to believe in Jesus and in you, and when we struggle, help our unbelief. Let us look to your word for strength and affirmation. We love you, God, and we know that you are love. Thanks for the greatest show of love in Jesus and his death. In his name we pray. Amen. Have a blessed week.